join this press conference now underway.
To make sure our rescue workers are safe. This is not a rescue operation any longer. It's a recovery operation, which means we move slower and more deliberately. We want to make sure and search everywhere. The fire department has responsibility for everything above the water, and the sheriff's department and other agencies are handling the operations in the river. With that, I'm going to pass it off to Chief Dolan from the police department.
That was Jim Clack, the fire chief.
Good morning. We haven't, overnight from what we were briefing yesterday, not a lot has changed. Basically, we're in a hold mode. We've set up a perimeter. Basically, have four sectors, different commanders in those sectors. We're dealing with not only traffic, but pedestrians that are coming down. And we'd like to say we people that are coming down, please don't get frustrated that we're not going to let you close to the scene. And we'd request that people not come down unless they have a real good reason to come down. We talked to officers that were on the scene last night. We had a number of officers that responded to the initial call. We know that there are numerous other vehicles that are in the water. And so the recovery involving those vehicles and people who may be in those vehicles is going to take a long time. We're planning on staffing this perimeter for 3 days minimally, and it's probably going to be longer as far as the recovery aspect of this incident. So we do want to again reiterate that our sympathies go out to families that are involved in this and families that don't have answers. It's like Fire Chief Clack said, this is going to take a long time, this recovery. We're dealing with Mississippi River, we're dealing with currents, and we're going to have to do it slowly and safely. So I would like to say that we've gotten a lot of assistance from partners down here, people that are assisting us from Red Cross, Target, Cub Foods, others. Very much appreciate that, because we have a lot of people here from metro agencies statewide that have come down to assist. Staffing this perimeter for 24/7 takes a lot of people, and we're getting assistance from a lot of agencies. St. Paul Police Department helped us with calls last night, so we want to make sure we thank St. Paul, and we probably get more assistance from them today. So that's about it. We'll know more maybe a little bit later, but like I say, we're in a hold mode. We're in a perimeter, security perimeter, and this is going to take a long time.
Chief, do you have an update for us on numbers of dead,
injured? You know, I've heard that there's been some controversy on that. Our public statement last night is we didn't know. So, we've had investigators at every hospital go to every hospital. We were trying to account for vehicle license numbers, people with those vehicles. So at this point, and I've talked to Dr. Baker from the coroner's office, but at this point I think there's still some unknowns. People did go to different hospitals in the metro area, and obviously we were fighting a little bit of data privacy about who's who and where they're coming from and what their injuries were. So we have investigators working on all that. You'll probably get a better number on that later on. So
yeah, let's not take
it. Much please go out to the families of the people who are still waiting and don't have answers about their loved ones. How many people are in that situation? How many families are there waiting?
We had at least six families that were at the center. We got a number of other people that are calling. And so we're dealing with those, and we can get you give you a number that we want those calls to go to. I don't have that offhand, but our media people do.
Are we still talking seven confirmed dead?
You know, I never went to seven, and so at this time I wouldn't even go there. I would say, we'll get that from the coroner's office, and they are on scene now. And obviously, that's going to change throughout the day as we're doing this recovery, I would guess. And it's.
Chief, can you give us any sense of how difficult it is for the divers, what conditions they face?
Sheriff can talk to that since those are his people.
Are there still 20 missing? Is that confirmed at all?
What we are estimating anywhere from 20 to 30 people that could be unaccounted for. But that's an estimate based on a number of vehicles that we're estimating were on the bridge. So there's a lot of estimates.
Expect the death toll to rise?
I would expect so, yes. Sheriff?
All right. Good morning. Hennepin County Sheriff Rich Stanek. Well, as Chief Clack mentioned, you know, we're in a recovery mode at this point. Things this morning, as he laid out, will move deliberate and slowly as folks were out early this morning at sunrise taking a look at the structure itself, the bridge that's still standing, parts of it, debris in the water, making sure that the scene is safe and secure for emergency workers to be able to work around it and get on with the job that they have to do this morning. There are a number of vehicles both in the river and on the bridge itself, some submerged, some you can see sticking out of the water. I had the opportunity yesterday both to be down on the river itself, and then last night Chief Dolan, myself, and others toured the area by air via State Patrol helicopter. Quite the scene. In terms of what's going to happen this morning, again, at sunrise, Department of Transportation folks from local, state, federal have been out with Hennepin County Sheriff's Office deputies taking a look at the structure, making sure it's safe and secure. When we are assured that it's safe enough for the rescue workers to go back into the scene and continue their recovery operations, we will do so sometime later this morning.
That's Rich Stanek, Hennepin County Sheriff. He'll join us between now and 8 o'clock as well. Let's go to the Hennepin County Medical Center. A team of doctors answering questions about other things, such as the fatality count there, apparently at 1. Let's join that conference in progress.
But pretty much consistent with what you would expect from an accident like this.
Can you tell me more about the age group? Are these children? Are these adults?
We had, I believe, five children defined under the age of 18, and the rest were adults.
Are these children in critical condition?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. Do you?
The children right now are all in stable condition. The critical cases primarily are confined to the adults. And North Memorial took four or five pediatric patients, and I don't know the status of their medical condition right now.
Are you in communication with the other hospitals?
We have been, and John Hick, who's behind us, was at the scene, as well as another one of our medical directors, Dr. Jeff Ho, and then North Memorial had one or two medical directors there. This was really a team effort as in any disaster, and it was between all the major trauma centers here in Minneapolis, as well as level two trauma centers.
Could we ask Dr. Hick a question?
Sure.
As what you found on the scene, obviously there were various different types of collapse, you know, straight into the water, halfway down. Can you kind of qualify the injuries? Where did most of the serious injuries happen? Was it the span that fell into the water? Was it the ones that collapsed on land? Is there any way to...
Most of the critical injuries that we had were on the span that collapsed into the river, and the portion of the span on the north side of the river. Those were mainly the focus of our initial rescue efforts. On the south side of the river, most of the patients had either minor injuries or were able to evacuate themselves from the span. So it was really the span that was in the water and the north side of the collapse where we concentrated our rescue efforts. I want to say that the bystanders and Minneapolis Police and Minneapolis Fire did an exceptional job of helping us quickly get people off of the bridge, get out of their vehicles, get off of the span, and seek medical care. We had outstanding cooperation from the patients themselves, understanding that we had some very critical patients to deal with, and not trying to, you know, make sure that they got care first. It was a very selfless environment down there. I think the fact that we had as many injuries as we did, we had 55 patients transported by ambulance. The call came into our dispatch center at 6:07 last night, and all the patients were transported to hospitals within an hour and 53 minutes, which I think speaks to the number of services involved with this, as well as the teamwork on the part of the paramedics and the other emergency medical services and public safety folks that responded.
55 transported up to your hospital only or to all?
No, that's to all hospitals. We received 24 patients here at Hennepin County Medical Center. The rest were distributed to North Memorial and other medical centers.
The fatality, the person who died, do you know any of the circumstances regarding that? Where, how, what happened?
The person who died here at Hennepin County Medical Center was one of the first patients that was evacuated off the north side of the collapse. He had very, very significant chest and other injuries, you know, consistent with a fall of 64 feet in a vehicle. He was gravely injured at the scene. He was rushed immediately to one of the first ambulances in and was brought to the trauma center as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, that alone was not enough to save his life. Last night, messages went out to all the hospitals via a web-based system that we used, and that asked the hospitals to, you know, tally all of their patients that resulted from this incident and submit basically information about what patients they had. All that information was compiled, was supplied to the Red Cross, is being used by the hospitals today to determine, you know, where patients are and how they're doing. We're really not concerned, honestly, with the specifics of the injuries. Most of the injuries are pretty consistent. They're, you know, orthopedic injuries, they're spinal injuries. Their chest and head injuries. More, it's a matter of figuring out who is where so that the families can be reunited if there's any questions still about where their family members are.
Is there still a question? Are there still some patients who haven't been identified? I know the hospital put a toll number out there.
To my knowledge, the patients at our institution are identified. I can't speak for other institutions.
Also, I'm wondering, I mean, clearly as doctors and this hospital particularly, you all train for situations like this. But if you can talk personally, being there on the scene or even treating them as they arrived, the emotions that you were feeling.
I'll just speak for on the scene, and then I'll defer to my colleagues to speak for in the hospital. But I arrived initially about 7 minutes after the initial call went out on the south side where the fire involved the tractor-trailer truck and the school bus was right behind. And you know, I think your initial impression is, would somebody just say cut here, and is this a movie? And, you know, unfortunately, it was not, and we had to really rapidly set up triage and treatment points. But your training just kicks in, and you do what you need to do. And I think very quickly, a lot of organization was brought to a very chaotic situation because we have practiced for things like this. We've done a lot of work on disaster preparedness in the area, and that showed. But personally, honestly, there wasn't a whole lot to think about any feelings last night until about 1 o'clock in the morning. So,
and when it hit you at 1 o'clock?
I had to watch a little TV last night in order to get to sleep. But, you know, again, this is the kind of thing we see every day, not in this scale and not with the kind of visuals of the structural collapse that we had, but this is the kind of thing that we're trained to deal with. Sorry, could I have them comment on the last question, which was how they reacted here at the hospital?
I'll just tell you my situation. I was on in the main part of the emergency department, and we first had to kind of determine what is really going on and what is the extent, because when you call a disaster, you're calling a lot of resources. You're calling all the, not only emergency physicians, but all the nurses, all the surgeons, everyone in, and it's a significant call. And that was the first thing. The hard part was trying to figure out how extensive is this disaster. Number two, when it happened and we got quick reports, and I think we are extraordinarily lucky that we've done this training a lot, and Dr. Hick has been very involved in this. So when we were ready to pull the trigger and call it what we call an orange disaster, it was very smooth. A page went out. We have a system, a very methodical system. At that point, personally for me, it was about doing my job that I'm trained for. This hospital has done an exceptional job. This is what we are, and what we're for, is to be ready for this kind of situation. Then that was a matter of actually stepping aside, making sure we had the resources for the critical cases. Dr. Burnett, a number of people came in. We're managing those critical cases, so I'll let him talk about that. Then we had to actually, the part of it is coordinating the response. Are we going to hit capacity? We cleared out 25 ICU beds in a matter of 30 minutes. Boom. We moved all the people out from the emergency department that were not necessarily had to be there, or we moved them to a different area, and we cleared close to 25 rooms immediately on that. And then it was the hard work of managing this. Personally, what you do after that is...
All right, let's go from Hennepin County Medical Center. Let's go back to the Stone Arch Bridge where the authorities are speaking.
Some people in some of those vehicles. So, and those were just, it was unsafe.
Speaking now, this is Police Chief Tim Dolan.
To move those people or move any, since the bridge is still shifting. So that's why there's, and I don't know exactly what, how the numbers came out last night, but as far as law enforcement goes, we're not sure. We know we have we know we do have more casualties at that scene. No. You know, last I heard last night, we had one construction worker that was unaccounted for out of the 30. I'm not sure if that's still the case, but we'll find that out today.
Sorry, how many cars are there
still in the water? It's a guesstimate.
We don't know. I mean, based on what you can visibly see from the air and in the boat when I was down there, there are at least a dozen that are visible submerged. We don't know about underneath. Again, we're not going to get into details until I can get the divers from the sheriff's office back in the water later this morning, and we do that through the mostly through the sonar and the GPS markings.
Have you removed any cars yet?
We have not removed anything from the river, and again, it'll be slow and deliberate. We treat this as a crime scene, so with the crime scene and that whole piece of it comes that slow, deliberate process. I can't emphasize that enough. Things are not going to move rapidly this morning. But we're committed as a unified command to keep you updated. You are really our medium back out to the public. We appreciate you coming out this morning, being here throughout the night. I ask you again, please tell the folks about the Holiday Inn Metrodome in terms of family and friends. Tell them about the need for blood donations. And tell them, please, stay away from the area. Let us do our work in terms of emergency workers.
It's just,
yeah, the water's low. But.
It's just a little bit over the roofs of some of the cars, so it's probably, you know, I would guess in some of those areas it's probably maybe 7 feet, 8 feet at the most.
I mean, we believe the bridge itself that's down is sitting on the bottom of the
right.
of the river, but I, you know, yeah. So it looks like you could almost walk across the river on the bridge, yeah. But I don't know the exact depth at this
right.
point. Okay. Anything else? Otherwise, Mark?
Thanks, Sheriff. My name is Mark Danaski. I'm Chief of the Minnesota State Patrol, speaking today for the Minnesota State Patrol and the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. As the Chief and the Sheriff pointed out, there's a lot of agencies involved here today. Early last evening, the Commissioner and the Governor stood up the Minnesota Emergency Operations Center. The Minnesota State Patrol is in a support function for Minneapolis and Hennepin County. We have a significant number of troopers in the area, providing support for the security of the area, as well as working with our MnDOT partners now this morning, trying to reroute traffic and keep the traffic flow around the metropolitan area moving as smoothly as possible. In addition, we're assisting the Minneapolis Police Department. We have had a number of other agencies, particularly in the metropolitan area, providing assistance, calling down and asking what they can do, and we're helping Minneapolis coordinate that. As the Chief pointed out, we're all going to be down here for a number of days, and it's going to take a lot of officers to come in and relieve Minneapolis and the people that are here, and so we're bringing in some outside personnel as well. As Sheriff Stanek pointed out, the scene is considered a crime scene. One of the other things that the Minnesota State Patrol is starting to do today, as they start to stabilize the area out there, last night our air support took literally thousands of pictures of the incident. Today we've brought in accident and crash reconstructions from around the state of Minnesota. They will start mapping the scene as it becomes safe so that we have a crime scene diagram of the area as the process moves along. The other thing that we're worried about this morning a little bit really is, and I'm going to echo both the chief and the sheriff, is movement down around the area. When I came back down this morning about 5 o'clock, the traffic was moving pretty smoothly, but as our MnDOT partners are going to come up and talk about, keeping people away from the area, having them route them around out on 494 and 694 is just going to make life easier for all the rescue and emergency personnel down here. From that standpoint, I don't know if there's any questions about any other facet from the Department of Public Safety or state assets. Everything's been made available that the governor and the commissioner of public safety can do for the chief for Hennepin County, and we will stay out here as long as we need to.
My name is Lucy Kender, and I'm the communications director for the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Pardon me. One of the things that I want to talk about today is our goal today to make travel safe on Minnesota's roads and bridges. And we want to assure people that we are doing everything in connection with all the folks you've just heard to make that happen. I'll reiterate it. You've heard it twice, three times. To drive not in this area. We have set up an extensive detour area around this. If you take this every day, it's available on MnDOT's website, mndot.gov. If you go there, find out that information, and please, please, please share it. There's maps on there. Get that information out. We also have another system that can be used, and that is 511. 511 is a phone number that can be called from any phone, or 511mn.org on the web to find out some of that information. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is also our partnership with our federal partners. We will be working closely with the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Federal Highway Administration, and the National Transportation Safety Board on what will most likely be an extensive and long and thorough investigation as to why this happened. We want to also get a plan together as quickly as possible after that to rebuild this bridge. That will take time, and we really ask for patience from the motorists who use this very busy, very active bridge in the metropolitan area. So again, we're looking for safety as our number one issue for today. If people please use the detours, stay away from the area unless you have official business here, and look at our website for information and updates as they may come about. And I'd be happy, as anyone else would, to perhaps take some more questions.
That's Lucy Kender from MnDOT. MnDOT.gov is the website you should keep in mind there for more information on commuting. Right now, as we continue with the various press conferences that were going on this morning, we heard, Jack, conflicting reports now about the death toll, and it may be positive news, as it may be less than we had heard previously, but we have to reserve that until we finally get some totals from the Hennepin County Medical Examiner.
Yeah, realistically, you understand that everybody's trying to get it, and they're trying to get the information. It's coming from so many different sources. This is part of what they tried to learn after 9/11 was not only about communications, but to have some central sorting point to figure this out. When I was down at the river earlier today, what I saw was the Hennepin County Medical Examiner down there. You knew they were getting there early because that's part of this. They're down there trying to count and figure out exactly what they're going to do next. And obviously, they've been waiting for the divers to start, and as they've done that, I'm sure they're right there trying to help and do whatever is necessary, and ideally they'll keep us up to date.
Tim, Jack and I were talking a little bit off air about the scale of this, and not only in this country but around the world, literally, they are watching and looking at video of this, and I don't think what you see on your screen, it tells you how big and how the span of this thing is. And you were down there this morning and yesterday. What you see on film, it doesn't really do it justice.
I have to look back, and I have to go back years now, because, again, I used to park underneath this bridge, and I think that's when you realize how big this structure is. I mean, from the air, you look at it, and you think, oh, it's the size of a couple of houses or something like that. It's not. It is something completely different. As you park underneath, you're enveloped by this massive structure, and then when you're down on the river looking at this in the water, it doesn't make sense because it's so big. It seems so strong, so it's impossible that something this big could come down, and yet it has. All you see is this edifice sort of just crunched together like straw. It's unbelievable.
Our sister station, WCCO Channel 4, showing this morning some extremely rusted portions of the structural undercarriage of the bridge. Whether or not that had any kind of play into what happened eventually. Obviously, though, it was quite evident that the rust was a situation there. And as we say, we'll have to wait. It's going to take a long time, months, maybe a year, before they come up with an answer on what happened.
The governor was talking about this just a couple of minutes ago, back in 2005, 2006. They did find deficiencies, but again, they weren't sufficient to close the bridge. Obviously, now they're going to have to reconsider this. What's amazing, Beyond, and I was talking about this earlier, how the whole country is looking at this, not just in the sense of sort of a brotherhood of trying to sort of support us, but I think there's also the fact that they have bridges like this, too. So literally within the last couple hours, I've been on the air in Philadelphia, St. Louis, Denver, Miami, California, because other people have bridges like these. And so all of a sudden they're saying, if our people are driving over bridges like this too, do we need to reconsider this? And you know every major city in the country that has a truss bridge, and most of them do, they're going to be looking at this saying, are there sufficient redundancies to make sure nothing like this happens again?
A visitor from Houston, Texas yesterday, one of the victims of the collapse.
Well, I was afraid to get out. My husband was trying to get out, and then all of a sudden people, just angels came, you know, men came. There was a man from a bicycle that came and said, they're yelling to get you out because they were afraid there would be an explosion or it would collapse. So we went ahead and let them help us. They had to lift us out. And then by the time we got to the side by the hill, there was a fireman that just...
One of the many stories of heroism and heroism as a harrowing event took place for this visitor to the Twin Cities. But so many of us went over that bridge on a daily basis, or at least a weekly basis.
You know, the reason why the numbers are so hard to track down is people immediately came and helped people out of their cars to the banks of the river, out of the river, and you can't account for all those people. Some of them may have gone home. Some may have driven themselves to the hospital. Some may have not gone to the doctor at all because they felt fine. That's why these numbers are so vague.
Dr. John Hick reporting an overall number of 79 patients treated. 55 were brought by ambulance within an hour and 50 minutes yesterday to the various hospitals that we've heard about. And of course, at North Memorial, that they had four or five patients there. They had some 24 at HCMC. Yesterday. So as the doctors were reporting this hour in their news conference, their plan worked very well.
You also realize that the trauma unit that's there is really quite incredible, so it makes so much difference.
The Hennepin County Sheriff, Rich Stanek, is responsible for everything that's going to go on in the water here at the Mississippi, and he's joining us today. What can you tell us about the recovery process, Sheriff?
Well, good morning. This morning we began recovery operations at Sunrise in terms of getting out in the water, taking a look at the bridge and the structure, making sure that it's safe and secure before we give the okay for rescue workers to continue with the recovery operations.
What have you heard?
We shut down operations about midnight last night due to the, you know, the darkness, the river conditions, and the incredible amount of debris that's in the water just wasn't safe any longer.
Any reports about conditions so far?
You know, I'm just on my way to 8 o'clock briefing with a number of folks from city, county, state, and federal officials who have been out assessing the bridge and the damage so that the sheriff's office, myself, can determine when rescue workers can continue on this morning.
What kind of assets do you have in play that that you'll be using for this recovery process?
Well, a couple of the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office Water Patrol has a number of boats on scene, seven or eight of them at this point. We'll continue recovery operations throughout the day. We've got a number of dive teams here using our resources. Last night we moved in heavy equipment on barges, meaning cranes and other things to move debris. We are treating this as a crime scene at this point, as you can imagine, so things will be slow and deliberate. Things will not happen fast this morning. And then the other piece is the sonar that we use in order to mark debris, cars, anything in the water via GPS as we continue to reconstruct this crime scene.
Sheriff, we understand that there were a lot of people who have prepared after 9/11 for emergencies of various types. How helpful has that been to you in dealing with this situation?
You know, it's been an incredible help. This is what law enforcement does. We operate under a unified command system. A number of agencies here, from police, fire, city, state, federal, local. But our training is what we rely on, and it kicked in full gear about 6 p.m. last night as the first calls for help went out, and literally hundreds of first responders from all over the state began to respond to the scene.
Very good.